This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Windy City suing Trump. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka on this Monday, August 7. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel says the city will file a lawsuit today against the Trump administration's policy of cracking down on so-called sanctuary cities.
Vice President Mike Pence denies a New York Times report that he's prepping a run for the White House in 2020.
A rare midsummer tornado strikes Tulsa, Oklahoma, causing dozens of injuries when a restaurant roof caved in.
And why Americans are not relocating anymore.
That peaked in 1985, and since then has been on a massive decline, and last year only 10% of America moved. This is kind of fascinating, just on a cultural level, but on an economic level, this can actually be really problematic, because it may mean that workers aren't getting to where the jobs are.
Heather Long at the Washington Post on how not moving to find work can affect the economy. It's only the third tornado to strike in Tulsa County, Oklahoma in August in 50 years. But the storm that whipped through early yesterday was a reminder that twisters are not contained to springtime. It damaged buildings, knocked over or damaged more than 100 utility poles, and injured around 30 people when it struck around 1:30 in the morning Central Time. Eight people were hospitalized after part of the roof at a TGI Fridays restaurant collapsed, trapping people inside. Tulsa police officer Demita Kennard.
They were patron in three restaurants, and they were eating when the storm came through, and dispatch started getting calls of people who were trapped in the restaurants because the roofs had started collapsing in on them.
Public Service Company of Oklahoma said more than 14,000 people in the Tulsa area lost power at one point due to the tornado and severe storms. The city's warning sirens did not sound before the tornado struck. A city official said it moved so quickly there was little time for warning. Vice President Mike Pence is denying a New York Times report that he's preparing for a presidential election run in 2020 in case President Trump does not seek a second term. In a statement, he called the story fake news and said it's just the latest attempt by the media to divide this administration. The Times claims that some Republicans were moving to form a shadow campaign as though Mr. Trump were not involved. It said multiple advisors to Mr. Pence have already intimated to party donors that he would plan to run if Mr. Trump did not. White House senior counselor Kellyanne Conway also denied the story.
Vice President Pence is a very loyal, very dutiful, but also incredibly effective vice president, active vice president.
She was on ABC's This Week. The report said Mr. Pence had created his own independent power base, including a political fundraising group called Great America Committee. The Times, by the way, is standing by its coverage. As Republicans try to defend their House majority next year, lawmakers like Colorado Congressman Mike Kaufman are trying to find that elusive middle between being a Republican and being a Trump Republican. It's a story from Sally Persons, political reporter at the Washington Times. Sally, what are you looking at?
I'm looking at it, and I'm seeing that it's really a toss-up, and it's very early to be making these kinds of predictions, but I wanted to see what the early temperature check would look like. And so far, it's looking like there may not be such a spot. And I'm hearing that for two reasons. One, I'm hearing that there's no room in the party in general. The party is moving a different direction. The other I'm hearing is, looking back at history, the president usually loses some seats in the midterm, and so they were looking for a loss anyhow.
Mm. What you looked at with this Colorado Congressman Mike Kaufman, the Republican, and kind of what he did and what he's done and what he might do, I guess.
Well, I found him to be an interesting pick because he had come out pretty hard against Trump last cycle and wanted to see if that would affect him in his district coming in, because it didn't seem to hurt him as much last cycle when Trump was actually on the ballot. Now, to stipulate, there aren't as many Trump voters in his district as there might be in other competitive districts across the country. Democrats and Republicans I talked to out there said it's just not really, there's a higher educated populace, there's more work in that state, so it's not really feeling the same effects that some of these other districts are feeling to sort of ripen a Trump voter. So he may not be facing the same circumstances. However, I have been told that what I was looking at specifically was their votes on health care, and he also voted against the health care bill. So I was trying to see if that would hurt him with Republicans in his district. And I was told that it really may not end up making that much of a difference.
We're speaking with Sally Persons, politics reporter at The Washington Times. Her piece is called Republican Incumbents in Swing Districts Try to Find Right Distance from Trump. You've got, too, I know you mentioned in the story, voters who split their tickets. What impact might that have in the 2018 midterms?
Well, it'd be interesting in 2018 because there really wouldn't be a ton to split on. Split districts or split tickets usually mean, so if someone really likes their rep who happens to be a Republican but they voted for Hillary Clinton last cycle, that would be split ticket voting. And so since there's not a presidential nominee, it's usually more rare in a midterm because people who are coming out in midterms are usually more in line with their party and they're coming out to vote for their party. So I don't know that he would be as susceptible to that this cycle as he might have been last cycle, or as the other rep I feature, which is Barbara Comstock, would be more susceptible to that in a presidential year.
And explain her.
She's a little more interesting because her district is right outside of the D.C. suburbs and then kind of goes into more of rural Virginia. So she has, from what the Republicans I've spoken to in her district, she has more of that Trump voter than in the outer skirts of her district. However, the part of her district close to Washington is becoming increasingly Democratic. It's sort of the same shift you're seeing in Virginia overall, where Northern Virginia is really overriding the rest of the state, which may be more conservative, more Republican, but a lot of the more educated, college-educated, even graduate degree level that you see in Washington, D.C. are flowing into the northern suburbs and overpopulating up there, and so it's overriding the vote.
Is it possible, you talked about the kind of the split voter with regards to the presidential election, but what about a split voter who might change his or her mind given the way they voted in 2016? Like, is it possible like Kaufman voters in Colorado could flip based on a feeling for or against President Trump?
Yes, that's also very possible. That I was trying to see, that was another part of the piece, is what I found interesting is that Republicans and Trump Republicans, there is a divide. And even there's a poll, Washington Post poll that I mentioned that talks about leans Republican and then has another section of Trump supporters and sort of measures their voter enthusiasm for heading into the next cycle. And what I found interesting there was that both the people who lean Republican or Republican voters and those who are Trump supporters both have far more voter enthusiasm heading into 2018 than Democrats.
Thanks, Sally. Sally Persons, political reporter at The Washington Times. Thanks for being with us. Chicago plans to sue the Trump administration today over threats to withhold grant money from so-called sanctuary cities. Attorney General Jeff Sessions recently announced the U.S. Justice Department would prevent cities from accessing a certain grant program unless they allow immigration authorities unlimited access to local jails and provide 48 hours notice before releasing anyone wanted for immigration violations. Chicago, a regular target of President Trump because of its murder rate, expected to receive $3.2 million this year. Mayor Rahm Emanuel said the lawsuit would prevent the Trump administration from setting a precedent that could be used to target other funding.
The burn grants are for technology, for everything from vehicles to radios to tasers that help strengthen the professionalization of our police department and create a proactive environment.
Under the Trump administration, the federal government has sought to crack down on sanctuary cities, which generally offer illegals a safe harbor by refusing to use city resources to enforce federal immigration laws. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, representatives from nations around the world have been huddling in the Philippines all weekend. They're pressuring North Korea's biggest trading partners to actually carry out United Nations sanctions unanimously imposed by the Security Council over Pyongyang's two intercontinental ballistic missiles test in July. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says there's even a way North Korea could return to negotiations.
We've not had an extended period of time where they have not taken some type of provocative action by launching ballistic missiles. So I think that would be the first and strongest signal they could send to us is just stop stop these missile launches.
Tillerson is at the three-day Association of Southeast Asian Nations Forum in Manila. Tulsa, Oklahoma residents and business owners spent Sunday sifting through wreckage left by at least one possible tornado that struck while most of them were sleeping. No tornado sirens were activated. Tulsa Police Officer Demita Kennard.
We've got power lines that are down. We've got big trees that are down. We have roads that are closed right now. There's a lot right now.
Roofs and storefronts were torn off with dozens of injuries, but no deaths reported. The FBI is trying to determine whether the weekend bombing of a mosque outside Minneapolis was a hate crime and who may have been behind it. A worshiper early Saturday morning saw a pickup speeding away after the device was thrown through a window of the mosque in Bloomington, Minnesota. No injuries, but a room was damaged. Excessive corrosion caused the Ohio State Fair Fireball ride to malfunction last month, killing one person and injuring seven others. That's the conclusion of the ride's manufacturer, KMG International, after a review of video of the accident and an on-site inspection. It's promising new inspection protocols. The Dark Tower is in first place after a quiet box office this weekend.
I do not shoot with my hand. I shoot with my mind. I do not kill with my gun. I kill with my heart.
Intense. An opening total of $19.5 million, less than expected for a movie based on a Stephen King novel.
Not so intense was the money. $19.5 million?
Well, but they were expecting like $20 million. I mean, it was close.
Jeez. Well, tickets are $500,000 a piece, so that means 40 people went to the movies. That's about it.
Right? But apparently they didn't buy popcorn.
Holy cow. Thank you, Rasa. It's 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could spend some time with us. Good Monday to you. The old TV antenna, also known as rabbit ears, is mounting a quiet comeback propelled by a generation that never knew life before cable television and who primarily watch Netflix, Hulu, and HBO via the internet. Wall Street Journal reporter Ryan Knutson says antenna sales in the U.S. are projected to rise 7% this year to nearly 8 million units. Millennials are among the big adopters once they get over their disbelief. Ryan, what have you found here?
Antenna sales are rising in the United States, but I found a survey that showed that 30% of Americans didn't know that it existed. So I started looking at some of these anecdotes about who are the people that didn't know, and it's mostly young people who grew up with cable television, didn't really know about antennas, and then now that they've become cord cutters watching Netflix and Hulu and things like that, they found that the TV antenna is the perfect supplement.
How about that? I mean, one of these guys you talked to was like an MBA student like in Utah, right? This was news to him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some of these people like that, that particular individual, Dan, he knew that antennas were a thing, but he thought that they were all just giant, you know, that went on your rooftop, that required all this installation. He didn't know that there were these small ones that were like $20 that you could plug into your TV set inside your home and then be good to go. So some of the, you know, the degrees of what people know about them can be quite large. But generally speaking, I think there is a lot of people that are unaware that you can put them inside your house and they're small and they're only like $20.
Mm. I guess this is worth asking these days. Even these high-tech TVs today, built for just about everything, can still draw in a signal like that with regular rabbit ears?
They need an antenna. Most televisions don't come with antennas built inside of them. You have to buy them separately. One of the things that happened was that in 2009, the United States transitioned over from analog signals to digital ones. And I think a lot of people came away from that thinking that over-the-air television signals simply went away, when in fact they actually got better. But when you switch from analog to digital signals, older CRT televisions no longer worked, but the antenna still worked. So in order for the television to process the new signal, you had to buy this little converter box. Mm. So there's a big public awareness campaign, but it was mostly focused on people who already relied on antennas, which in many cases were low-income people or older people, because this is obviously before the days of cord cutting, when people who are more affluent would be more likely to pay for cable.
Yeah. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Ryan Knutson. He's written a piece entitled Millennials Unearth an Amazing Hack to Get Free TV, the Antenna. This guy in St. Louis, too, he manufactures these things. He says, too, like he has a hard time explaining that these things still exist.
Yeah. I mean, I talked to a handful of people that sell antennas, and they all have the exact same experience, was that they get emails from people asking very basic questions about what it is, how it works, and a lot of the questions that they get is this legal? Because I think, you know, people have this perception that you can't get, there's no such thing as free television, you know, you've got to pay for it. So there's like an education that needs to happen here.
Thanks, Ryan. Ryan Knutson, Wall Street Journal reporter. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.
If you're familiar with cloud computing, you probably know that Amazon Web Services offers a complete set of secure compute, storage, application, and deployment services that help companies launch and scale their IT infrastructures while lowering costs. But did you know that you're still responsible for protecting your own AWS-based assets, meaning your applications and data, from advanced cyber threats? Protect your AWS with Barracuda Network's advanced firewall solutions. Visit AWS Marketplace or barracuda.com/AWS to learn more.
Thanks for being with us. Monday, August 7, Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Chicago plans to sue the Trump administration today over its sanctuary cities policy. Tornado surprised Tulsa yesterday, causing damage and injuries, but no deaths. New report says soldiers diagnosed with depression are not getting the follow-up care they need. Charismatic former Phillies catcher Darren Dutch Dalton has died after a long battle with brain cancer at 55. Jay Cutler signs with the Dolphins, and the fourth grader who wants to be NASA's defender against space aliens. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, Americans just are not packing up and moving like they used to. Mobility is at an all-time low, according to the Census Bureau. It wouldn't be such a big deal, except for many Americans no longer live where the jobs are, and that's having an effect on the economy. Here's how, from Heather Long, economics reporter at The Washington Post. Heather, set this up.
This story, first of all, has received incredible amounts of feedback.
Yeah.
It definitely generates a lot of response from Americans. Anyway, the point is that we're not moving as often as our grandparents and great-grandparents did. So we're literally not packing up the moving van and moving to new houses at nearly the same rate as our ancestors did. So it used to be that about 20% of Americans would move in a typical year. That peaked in 1985, and since then has been on a massive decline. And last year, only 10% of America moved. So, okay, this is kind of fascinating just on a cultural level, but on an economic level, this can actually be really problematic because it may mean that workers aren't getting to where the jobs are.
So he told the Wall Street Journal that he's going to kind of undertake some sort of PR campaign to explain to people it's okay to move, right? I mean, how's that going to go?
Well, who knows with the president? He talks about a lot of different issues every day. But I thought it was really interesting, and that's why I picked up on it, that he was trying to tell people, hey, it's all right to move. It is a risk. You need to take risk. And he's a guy who's obviously taken a lot of risks in his life in terms of buying up different properties and trying to build those up. Some have failed. Some have worked. And it's kind of the same in our own lives as we make decisions about who to marry, whether to start a business, and then whether to move to a different city or a different state or even a different country. Do we think that will be better for our lives? I think the big question for me at the end of the day is we have this sort of vision and this myth in America. Many of our ancestors migrated here. You know, they left on boats from wherever they came from, and then they came to this country, usually at a very young age. That was a huge risk that they were taking. A lot of the same issues and impediments that we just talked about existed then, but people were willing to take that risk to make their lives better. And I think it is a little concerning and alarming, and that our generation doesn't seem to want to do that anymore.
We're speaking with Heather Long, economics reporter at The Washington Post, about her story entitled "Trump is Right About This: Americans Need to Move Where the Jobs Are." I know somebody else in your story also pointed out there's a variation in manufacturing jobs, so it's not necessarily that easy either. What about company loyalty? Are people concerned that they might pull up stakes, relocate the family, and then be on the job for 8 months and get laid off?
That's a huge issue that you just hit on. I think you're spot on with that one. That's probably one of the big differences when we think about what, you know, what's changed in the past few decades that have made Americans less likely to move. And I think you're right that, okay, sure, I see this job posting in San Francisco or Miami or Denver, but if I move there, am I really going to have a job for that long? And we certainly see that people are staying in jobs for a shorter and shorter period. So I think you're right. And then people have written to me just to express that that's one of their big fears and one of the reasons they're not sure they want to move.
Wow. So do the experts or economists say that it would be a game changer if people took the gamble and relocated to find the work?
Well, the big picture here is there's a case to be made that Americans need to take more risk. So when you look across the economy, it's at a 40-year low, the number of Americans who are starting new businesses. And so we have kind of this trend where people aren't taking these risks. They aren't starting new businesses. They aren't moving to try to better themselves like they used to. And when you put all of that together, yeah, that's holding the economy back.
Thanks, Heather. Heather Long, economics reporter at The Washington Post. Interesting approach, right? It's 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into a Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, there are a few of us that can say we haven't had an unflattering picture of us posted on social media, but one man in Britain wanted on an assault warrant went to extremes to get an unflattering mugshot of him taken off of Facebook. He turned himself in. Wayne Esmond replied to a Facebook post by the South Wales Police Department, which was seeking information on his whereabouts. He matter-of-factly replied, "I am him. Not a very flattering mugshot. I'd appreciate if you take this post down. Innocent until proven guilty and all that." He said he would consult with his attorney and subsequently surrendered on the charge. The police department obliged and removed the photo from Facebook, though if Esmond's real desire was to bury an embarrassing police photo had backfired, the media attention generated by the unusual arrest brought far more exposure than the original post.
Right. In fact, as evidence, I just typed in the guy's name
of course
on Google, and what comes up with like three unflattering images of his mugshot.
I mean, you know, and as mugshots go, it wasn't the most unflattering mugshot.
I agree.
He's got kind of bug eyes going.
Right, his eyes are wide open.
Right, that's basically the... But I mean, we've all seen way worse mugshots than that. Now, of course, the important part to remember about that is the fact that the police already had a mugshot of him means that this is not the first time that they have been seeking him to arrest him.
And I'm not saying that this is the case in Mr. Esmond's situation.
Yes.
But what I would recommend to would-be criminals or those who've been convicted or perhaps booked before is don't contact the police department if you've been drinking.
Yes.
When you're about to make a critical social media decision.
That's
leave the booze out.
Yes, that's good advice for all of us.
Again, not saying that happened in Mr. Esmond's case.
Yes.
However, just in theory.
Perhaps, yeah. You know what? If you're a criminal, perhaps you just walk around with like headshots. You know, you just pull out some headshots like actors
Please
do.
Use this one.
Yes, here you go.
Or like the Department of Motor Vehicles these days, where at least in New Jersey, you can reject the first photo that they show you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you choose the second option.
Yeah. That's a bad precedent to start setting.
How about this as a fundraiser for police departments? If you reject your first mugshot, you can pay to have a better one taken. Right.
There you go.
Fill the city coffers. There you go.
And in what is fast becoming an epidemic of fast food freakouts, police say a Pennsylvania man ranted that there weren't enough cucumbers on his Wendy's salad before he threw his food at an employee and made a threat. Police say they were called to the fast food restaurant in New Holland after 58-year-old Theodore Gunderson Jr. cursed, threw the salad at an employee, and said, "If I had a gun or knife, you would be the first to go."
Whoa.
The clerk called police and officers arrived to find Gunderson in his vehicle with the windows rolled up. Police say he eventually rolled down his window but then tried to drive away as an officer reached inside. He was eventually taken into custody on aggravated assault, terroristic threats, and other charges. Mm. Now, this comes on the heels of there was another freak out last week at Chick-fil-A, I believe. Someone had cold chicken nuggets or something along those lines and trashed the entire store. This was another one that made, you know, sort of second news last week. But, yeah, so and then that happened. I think there was another one a few weeks before that. So people are, I don't know what's going on at fast food restaurants right now.
Yeah, well, I'm
a little stressed.
Maybe issues other than, you know, we normally joke about booze or something like that.
Yes.
But this seems to be a little beyond that.
Right, but it seems like it's happening again. Fast food restaurants seems to be happening a lot more, or at least we're hearing about it more than we used to.
That could be it. And I mean, these are these classless, tasteless people who probably don't even know that barbecue sauce is better on your French fries than ketchup.
So they don't even deserve our attention. Is
no,
that what you're
I agree. I mean, if you don't even belong in the, I mean, you're not a real fast food eater if you don't use barbecue sauce on your French fries.
You and I will argue about this off air.
13 minutes in front of the hour. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is praising the strict new United Nations sanctions on North Korea. He's in the Philippines at the annual Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, meeting, working to keep nations in the region on board.
ASEAN released what I consider to be a very strong statement as well, demonstrating their commitment as well to support a denuclearized Korean peninsula.
The U.S. drafted resolution bans North Korean exports of coal, iron, iron ore, lead ore, and seafood. That raging fire last month near Yosemite National Park that destroyed hundreds of acres and over 100 buildings? Fire investigators now say it was caused by gunfire. The California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection blames someone firing a gun on public lands and is offering a $2,000 reward for information on that someone. A $10,000 reward is being offered by the Minnesota chapter of the Council on American Islamic Relations for information leading to an arrest or conviction in Saturday's early morning firebombing of a mosque in Bloomington, south of Minneapolis. The group's national office is urging Islamic centers and mosques to step up security. There are no injuries, but an office was damaged. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel says his city will sue the Trump administration over its plans to withhold federal funds from sanctuary cities.
Chicago will not let our police officers become political pawns in a debate. Chicago will not let our residents have their fundamental rights isolated and violated. And Chicago will never relinquish our status as a welcoming city.
Emanuel says the city will argue in federal court. Attorney General Jeff Sessions cannot withhold funding for Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Grants, a crime-fighting source for local governments. And a Republican donor in Virginia is suing the Republican Party in U.S. District Court. Virginia Beach retired attorney Bob Hegman accuses it of fraud and racketeering for raising millions in donations, knowing it wouldn't be able to appeal Obamacare. He wants the GOP to either threaten to withhold money from members of Congress if they don't repeal the Affordable Care Act, or, Gordon, to return contributions to donors.
That'd be one worth watching. Interesting. All right. Thank you, Rasa. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. If you're a podcast listener, by the way, who'd like to hear the show earlier, try downloading the TuneIn app. Then do a search for This Morning, America's First News. You can hear the show live on TuneIn anytime between 5 and 9 a.m. Eastern, also on TuneIn.com. Thanks for being with us. You might recall a story we brought you Thursday about a job opening at NASA as Planetary Protection Officer. This would involve protecting the Earth from an alien invasion. Well, the gig pays between upwards of $150,000 to $184,000 a year. One of the more notable applicants for the position is a 9-year-old kid from New Jersey who listed multiple qualifications in a handwritten letter to the space agency. For one, Jack Davis, who's in fourth grade, says his sister already thinks he's an alien. Another qualification, he has seen almost all the space movies and alien movies he can see. He also says his age is an advantage. He says because he's only 9, he's young enough to learn to think like an alien. Oh, plus, he plans to watch Men in Black, so he's going to be really experienced. Not to sound overqualified, he's already seen the show Marvel, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He signed it Jack Davis, Guardian of the Galaxy. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.